begin the current daf Masechet Yuma, daf Chav Ches. We begin on the bottom of Chav Zayin and Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara has a second version of Rabbi Zeira's question. That is, on the top of Chav Zayin and Beis, the Gemara brought the following halach from Rabbi Asi and Nirim Birchlin, that a zar shesida as a maracha, a non-kohen that organizes the maracha, that is a pyre that has the place where they would burn the different karbonis on the mizbeach, he's chayiv mis if he does that. Now the first version of Rabbi Zeira's question had on the component of if the maracha that could be organized could be done at nighttime, do we ever find an avoda that's at nighttime that a zar is chayiv misa? And that's what the Gemara discussed and came to the conclusion that you're right. Truthfully, it's something else. And the reason is because for the halacha that we're talking about, it has to be something that a zar is chayiv misa, it has to be an avoda that could be done by the daytime. Now, on that, the Gemara brings a different version of Rabbi Zeira's question regarding this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that if a zar is mesadeh the maracha, he's going to be chayv misa. We could argue that those that say a different version, Maskev Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira had asked the following question. Is it possible to have an avoda, again, which we're talking about in the context of the sidah maracha, shesh achari avoda that has another avoda after it, which is after one is mesadeh the maracha on top of the mizbeach, there's still something else that's done in that process, which is the siddur of the shnei gizar, and the two logs of wood are put on top of the maracha, and that and still be upsul bazar, and still be invalid by zar, that the zar who does it should be chayv misa. Where do we find such a thing? So again, although the first version of Zera's question was on this halacha, was regarding the siddur maracha could be done at night. Do we find something that's done at night that the zar could be chayv on? And therefore the Gemara fell off the epshat and said a different. The second version of Zera's question is on a different component. The fact that it's not the end, it's not vavad etem, as we had learned in the previous daf, that for the zar to be chayv, it would have to be an avoda temima, that means the conclusion of the avoda. Now siddur maracha is not the end of the line, because after creating the maracha, there's still the shnei gezara etzma that are put on it, and therefore do we find something that still has another avoda after it, that the zar should be chayv on it, misa? That was Rabbi Zeira's question. Now the Gemara continues on top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph, that, and this is based on Tosis Girsois and Tosis explanation, because Rashi is not curious the next parts of the Gemara. However, based on the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, the Gemara's retort to Rabbi Zeira's question is similar to how the first version had that responses going back and forth. But v'harei evam pudarim. What do you mean? You have the limbs and the sacrificial parts that are burned throughout the night on the mizbeach, where we consider that as an avoda tamima, and hence we said that haktar is one of the items that the zar, if he does, he'll be chayv misa. Hence, it must be vavadatem. In spite of the fact that afterwards there's trumas hadeshen, which is you burn the karbanos all night. Now afterwards, you take a shovel full of the ashes and you do that, and you put on the side of the mizbeach. That comes after the burning of the pieces. And in spite of that, we still consider the avoda of burning the karbanis, the sacrificial parts, at the night as an avoda tamima. And hence, there should be no difference for the case that Rabbi Yechon is talking about, that a zar that organized the maracha should also be chayv misa, even though there's an avoda that comes after that. So that's the question they're asking back to Rabbi Zeira. You see, you do find an avoda that has afterwards an avoda that a zar would be chayv misa on. On that, Rabbi Zeira would answer, no, seif avoda di imamihi. A varma padarm, although it could be done at night, and there's something that comes after it, but essentially it's different than the trumas hadeshen, because trumas hadeshen is really the beginning of the daytime avoda. So although there's its continuation of it, that is, we burn the sacrificial parts, they become ashes, then you take those ashes and take it off. But there's a difference between them, because the burning of the sacrificial parts is the end of yesterday, because we take those karbanos and we burn it through the night, and that's why we'll consider it a chashav avodah in its own right, and a zar does it b'chayv misa, in contrast to the zar that's organizing the maracha, that it's really part and parcel of the next one, of putting the two gezar on the top of it, and therefore Rabbi Zeira would say, where do we find that such a thing that has an avodah afterwards, that a zar would b'chayv misa? But then again, the question is, but v'harei trumas hadeshen, we find trumas hadeshen that avodah that taking the shovelful of the ashes, putting it on the side of the mizbeach, which has another avodah that comes after it, that of hoitzas hadeshen. That is, after there's so much ashes, they only take off a shovel full of the ashes, but there's so many karbanos, and they put it in this huge pile in the middle. They have to take it out at some point, take it out of the machna. That's called hitzas adeshen. That's a process after just taking off that shovel full of trumas adeshen. And yet still we see that that's something that's forbidden to be done by a non-kohen, by a zar. So you do see Rabbi Yochanan's concept to have an isser for a zar, even though there's an avodah that comes afterwards. So this is what they're responding to Rabbi Zeira's question. And that Rabbi Zeira would tell you, no. Tchilas avodah d'imamihim. Trumas Hadeshen is the beginning of the daytime avodas. Dabar Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that kiddush yadav the trumas adeshin, if someone sanctifies his hands for trumas adeshin, lamachar in the tzarich lekadosh, although that can be done in the nighttime, when it comes day already, which is continuing into the day, that's the following day, then you don't have to do kiddush dam reglaim anymore, shekvar kiddush mitzchilas avodah, because you already sanctified your hands from the beginning of the avodah, and therefore that's what gives it a chashibus to say that you can michayev that it's asa for zar to do. However, Reb Zeir's question, Elikasha, the Gemara says that Reb Zeir's question stands on Reb Yechonon, because if you see that this avoida of putting the maracha together has an avoida coming after it, hence it's not considered a chashav avoida to say that if a zar does in chayiv misa, because although you find evarim and pedarim and by trumas adeshin has avoidas coming after it, but they're different because they're chashav either in the sense, because although they're also at night, but either because one's coming at the end of the day, it's continuing from the day, or it's the beginning of, although it's at night, the beginning of the coming day. And therefore, that's what gives them a chashibus. But here, A, it's at nighttime, the Seder Merocha, and it's not the end of the whole process. So maybe over here, where do we find that Azar would be chayv misa? How do we know and to understand Rabbi Yechonon's halacha? So therefore, the Gemara falls off, as it did in the first version of Reb Zeir's questioning, that Rabbi Yechonon didn't say that if a non-kohen is misad the maracha, there's mechayiv misa. Ela iat mar hachid, rather, if it was said, it was said as follows. That Amar Basit Rabbi Yechonon, zar shesidu shnei gizari eitz mechayiv. If the zar, the non-kohen, organizes not the maracha per se, but what goes on top of the maracha, which are the two logs of wood, then he's chayiv misa, and that is because hoil vavoida tamahi, because that is the end of the process. That's when it finishes the sida maracha, because that's the last thing that creates it into the maracha. After the maracha comes the two logs of wood, and that's why we would find, as we do by avoida tamas, that a zar, if it does it, he could be chayiv misa. So now that resolves Rabbi Yechonon's halacha. However, maskev l'rava, but Rava asks, based on this, as he did in this first version, elamiata debayit pious. But if that's the case, it's a chashav avayda, and therefore, as we see, because it's the end of the process, the end is always the chashav, and it's avayda tama, so then it should require a lottery for whoever gets to do the avayda of the two gizarim of the eitzim. On that, the Gemara responds, v'loy bayi pais, do you think it doesn't require a lottery? But it does, v'tana, as we learn in the Braisa. Misha zachav v'trumas adeshin, whoever merits to do the avayda in the trumas adeshin, Yiske, he merits besidish negizari eitzim. He merits to do that. In other words, it requires a lottery. It just comes in a package deal with the trumas adeshin. So what's Rav asking? It really does. So the Gemara says what Rav's question was hachikam. He was asking, yifais lo b'fnei atzma. His question was, yes, I understand it's something that needs to be raffled off, but it should be its own raffle. It's a chashav avayda. Why is it coming as a package with trumas adeshin? That the Gemara answers Kedamrin, and that's like we had said on the previous daf, that what happened was with the Trumas Hadeshin, originally they used to race for it. Then danger happened because someone broke his leg, so then they made that you have to get it with a lottery. Then people said, what am I going to get up so early for? Who's going to win the lottery? So they made it into a bigger package deal that it will entice people to come for the raffle for the lottery of the Trumas Hadeshin, that with it, you get to do this, the Shnei Gizari Eitzim, and that's why it wasn't its own, but really, it sure really deserves to be its own, because it is a chashav avodah, because it is avodah tama, it is the end of the avodah of being mesader the maracha. Now the Gemara asks, based on Rav's question on Rabbi Yechonon, similar as the Gemara had made the deek on the previous daf in the first version of this discussion, comes out that lememra, that it seems that what Rav was explaining, that for the avodah tama, that it has to have two criteria. First of all, it has to be the end of the line in this avoida that we're doing. For example, when one serves, brings a carbon, the shchita, the zrika, kabbalah, halacha, the last one is the zrika. That's avoida tama. That's the conclusion of this avoida. So it needs to be the end of the avoida. And v'zar chayv ala misa, and for the non-kohen who would do it to be chayv misa, you have both those criteria, then bayi pais. Then that what Rava was insinuating, that's when you would need a lottery, because he was asking, oh, now that you told me that Shnei Gizari Eitzim, that it's Avoid the Tamahi, and that Azar is going to be Chayv Misa, because Rabbi Yechonon said the Chayv Misa part, and we concluded that that's because it's the Avoid the Tama. So, oh, then he's saying, oh, now that I know those two criteria, that, oh, I should need a lottery. However, the inference is, Ein Zar Chayv Alev Misa, Loi Boye Pais. It sounds like, but if a non-Kohen would do this Avoid, he would not be Chayv Misa. Then for the Kahanim doing the Avoida, they don't need a lottery. It's not a Chashav Avoida then, because you see even a non-Kohen won't be Chayv Misa, but Varei Shechita, but you find slaughtering the animal, that it's one of the lotteries that they raffle off, even though a non-Kohen is allowed to do the Shechita. I think Gemara answered, that doesn't contradict the two criteria of Rava, because Shana Shechita, slaughtering is an exception to Tchilas Avoida Di Imamahi, because it's the beginning of all the avoidus that are done in the morning, the first thing to be done is the animal slaughtered. That gives a chashivus, and that's why there's a pious for it. But again, generally, it needs the two criteria of a zar would be chayv misa, and it's avoidus tamima. Now, the Gemara asks on the other component. Lememra da avoidus tama boy pious, so that this sounds like you're trying to say, but it has to be the end of the avoidus, the last part of the process, then it needs a raffle. Avoidus shesh achre avoidus loy boy pious. However, if it was an avoidus service that has afterwards in this process what we're doing, another avoidus, then it wouldn't need a lottery. But bahari avarma padarm. But we have the sacrificial limbs and the fats that have after it another avodah, that of Trumas Adeshin, which comes after it's burnt these parts, and then there's ashes. Then you take those ashes and put on the side, and yet still we do make a lottery for who gets to do the Ivarma Padarm. So that the Gemara answers, Seif Avodah Di Mamihi. This is different because it's really part of the previous day, and it's from the Avodah Sayyam to have a Chashivas, and that's why it's part of the lottery. That's why it's different, and it's not considered an avoida that has afterwards an avoida that it shouldn't be considered a chash avoida to require a raffle. But then the Gemara asked, Bahari Trumas Adeshin. You have Trumas Adeshin, the taking off the shovelful of the ashes on the side of the Mizbech, that also has afterwards an avoida, that of Haitzah, of taking out all the ashes out of the Machane, and yet still we make a raffle for the Trumas Adeshin. So that the Gemara says, that's a different. In other words, you're right, Trumas Adeshin really should not require a raffle, and that's because it's an avoida that has afterwards another avoida, hence it doesn't have the chashivas, the distinguishing factor to require its own lottery. However, Mishumai Seshoi, that's because of the incident that happened, as we'd explain, because someone got hurt, and therefore they stopped the racing, and therefore they instituted a lottery, but not because of its own chashivas, but that was just to prevent the harm, the sakana that was happening. So Amar Zutra, said, V'itim, and some say it was Ravashi that said, Afanana Matinina. We also learned this halacha Rabbi Yochanan, that the Sidur Gizarim, the organizing of the two logs on the Maracha, is what's called an Aveda Tama. It was the end of the process, and therefore one would be, the Zar would be Chayiv Misa if he does that. And that's not like Rav and Levi on the previous staff, that they didn't consider it from the Avoidus that a Zar would be Chayiv Misa. That's because they hold that it's not avoida tama, it's not the end, because they're still organizing the limbs, which are put on the maracha, which has the shnei gezeri etzim on top of that. Then you put on the limbs, which get burnt over there. They consider that as part of that same process, hence the shnei gezerim are not considered avoida tama. And that is what Mazrucha or Ravashi is coming to say, that we actually learned in the Mishnah, which seems to indicate like Rabbi Yochanan, that it is the end of the avoida, and therefore a zar would be chayiv misa. How do we see this? Because on the coming mission, in the coming parak, it says, Amalahem Hamamuna, that the one in charge would tell the Kahanim, Tzuvru, go out and see, in Megiyaz Man Hashchita, if it came time that it's already morning that we could slaughter the carbon tamid shel shachar. Now, the diak is, the inference is, V'ilaz Man Siddiq Gizriyetim Loi Katani. We don't find that he told them to say, is it time that we could organize the two logs of wood on top of the Marocha? Now, why not? Obviously, that organizing the Shnei Gezeri Eitzim is an avoida that can be done at nighttime. Therefore, you don't have to check if it's daytime yet. So therefore, obviously, it's the end of the organizing of the Maracha, which can be done during the day. Because that's in contrast to organizing the Ivarim, which obviously is a different avoida. It's not a continuation to make an avoida Sheh Shachar avoida, because organizing the limbs have to be done by the daytime, because that's an avoida of the day. And therefore, it's not the conclusion of the Siddur HaMaracha. Rather, it must be a different avoida, and that's why we see L'chari like Rabbi Yochanan, that Siddur Shnei Gezeri Eitzim was the end of that, which that was done at night, and then organizing the limbs is something else which is done during the daytime. So that the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya from this coming up Mishnah, because hach de lesla takanta katani. Maybe Siddur of the Shnei Gezeri Eitzim had to be done during the daytime, and therefore it is part of the process which has afterwards the Siddur Heivarim. However, why didn't we mention it that he should check if it's daytime, if it has to be done that day? That's because, as we mentioned in the previous staff, that's because only that which doesn't have any rectification after the fact that it's done, like the shechita, once it's slaughtered, you can't put the head back together and redo the shechita, take two. Therefore, you have to make sure that it shouldn't become invalid, check as a day. However, regarding the Siddur Shnei Gezeri Eitzim, even though, yes, it has to be done by daytime, but what are the odds that we did it wrong? Even if we did it wrong, we could just pull it apart and put it back together again, and then we'll be doing it by the daytime, and therefore, although it is necessary to do it at the daytime, maybe not like Rabbi Yochanan, maybe it actually is part of the process of the day, which has Siddur Avorim on top of that. However, we didn't mention to have to check, because we could rectify it, so we didn't have to make sure with 100% that it's already daytime. Hanulach Birushayinu, we shall return to you, Perek Berishayna, the second Perek of Masechtas Yuma, and now we begin the third Perek in Masechtas Yuma, Amalehem Hamamuna. So now the second Perek deviated a little bit from the process of the entire Masechtas Yuma, which talks about that day of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. We went to talk about the different payasas, the different lotteries that were there in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we return to the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So Amalehem Hamamuna, so the Skan Kohen Gadol, he was the deputy Kohen Gadol, the one in charge, he would tell the Kehanim, Tzu viru, go out and see, in other words, go on the wall or go on the roofs, im higiyaz man hashchita, go out and check if it's time to slaughter the Tomet Shel Shachar. In other words, check if the eastern front has lit up where the sun comes out from, because shchita is possible, it's invalid to do it at nighttime, as the Pasuk says in Yikir Yotes, but Yom Ziv Chacham has to be slaughtered during the daytime. So they would check. Now, im higiyah, if it already became time to slaughter the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar, so Haray, the one that was looking, the one that went up on the roof, he would say Barkai, which is the terminology of that it's shining. What that means is that it was already dawn. Masi ben Shmuel, he says, Heir Pinei Kol HaMizrach, says that the entire eastern front has lit up. Now, they would ask him, Ad, is it already that the shine is up until Shebechevron? It's already up until the area of Chevron? And he would answer yes, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly who's saying what, who's asking what. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah asks, V'loma hutru chulakach, why did they need this, that to have to go up on the roof and to check if it's time yet to slaughter the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar? So the Mishnah tells us because Shepamachas olam or halavana, one time there was the shine of the Levana, which is at the end of the month, which was near the time of Shachar's, of the morning. Now, v'dimu sheheir mizrach, and they had thought that it was the eastern front that was lighting up, in other words, from the sun. V'shachtu es ha-tamet, and therefore they slaughtered the korban tamet. V'hitzi'uhu le-beis ha-sveifa, then when they realized that they had slaughtered at the nighttime, then they took out the animal to be burnt because it was invalid, because it wasn't shechted during the day, it was only at night. So therefore they instituted that to make sure to go up on the walls, on the roof, to check that it really is that the eastern front, that it's the sun that's shining, and it's time to slaughter the korban tamet shel shachar. Now, Hayridu Kohen Gadol Beis HaTefillah. Now, at this time, they would take the Kohen Gadol down to immerse himself in the mikveh, which the Gemara will explain where does this come in over here, and when exactly did they take the Kohen Gadol. Now, the Mishnah concludes with a general rule. Zeh HaKlal Hayi B'Mikdash. This is the general rule that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol HaMesich Es Raglav, which literally means whoever covers his legs. Now, that's a euphemism for saying if someone has to move his bowels, or has to relieve himself, so the reason why it says covering his legs is because when a person would crouch down to relieve himself, he would be covering his body over his legs, so it's called covering his legs. So if one has to move his bowels, then Torah and Tevilah, he requires immersion in the mikveh. Which literally means whoever places water, which is a term for urinating, then Torah and Kiddush Adar Meglim, then he only requires sanctification of the hands and the feet from the kir, but it doesn't actually require a Tevilah in the mikveh. Now we continue on Talmud Beis, where the Gemara brings a machlokes regarding this that we said, that the one who goes up on the roof, that he says, what is it that he says? So Tanya learned the Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, he says, Barak Barkai, that the dawn is shining. That is like our Mishnah said, that Barkai, that's what he would say. Kiva Leimer, he says, a little bit later, and it seems to be a procession of that they're saying later times, Kiva's opinion is, Ola Barkai, that the dawn has risen, which is a little bit lighter. Nechuma ben Afakshi Leimer, he says, Af Barkai b'chevron. He says it's even been lit up in Chevron. Masi ben Shmuel, that was Hamamun al Payasis, who he was in charge of the lotteries, he said, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad Shebechevron, that it's actually lit up, the entire eastern front, up until Chevron. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirim, he says, the most from all of them, that Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad Bechevron, the whole eastern front is lit up until Chevron, and the Yotzu Kol HaAm Ish Ish Malachta, and everybody has already gone to work already. So the Gemara asks, okay, everyone's getting later and later when it is that they made sure that it's daytime to be able to slaughter the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar, but Ihachi, according to this last opinion, Nogale too, but this is very late. Well, what is it? Why would they be waiting so late if everyone's going to work already? And the Gemara answers, no, it wasn't that late. When we said that everyone went out to work, it meant Lisker Poyelim Kamin. What we meant to say was that the owners, the employees, they went out, when it says Yatsu Ish L'Malachtoi, that the people went out to the work, it wasn't going on the workers, it was on the employees, that they went out to find workers to work for them, which is earlier than that. That's already what time it was. It was still later than the other opinions, but much earlier than when people are going to work. And that's when that was already that they said it's so light already, we could slaughter the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar. Now, related to this, that regarding to the movement of the sun, Samar of Safra says, Tzloysid Avram, the tefillah of Avram Avinu, regarding the evening tefillah, which is a reference to the tefillah of Mincha, Michimashri Kaisli, was when the walls started getting dark. Now, what that means is that the wall that faces the eastern front becomes white from the shining of the sun that's coming from the east, which goes towards the west, and then it has its rays shining on it. Now, once it reaches the beginning of the seventh hour, which is after Chatzais, then the sun is in the middle of the sky. It's on top of everyone's head. Now, it doesn't make any shadows. It's not on either direction. It's in the middle. However, what it does is it only makes a little corner of the wall on the edge. That little edge that's shining down on the top of the wall makes that edge a little bit dark. And then from that moment on, when it continues going towards the west, it continuously makes the wall darker and darker, and that's what's called Bein Harbayim. Now, Taisis Shishanim wonders why we talk about Tzlaisid Avram, that the tefillah of Avram Avinu would be, in other words, his mincha would be when the sun started moving, right when it moved out of Chatzais, right after noon, when the slightest amount of darkness happened to the eastern wall, that's when he would daven mincha ready. So first of all, he asks, but there's a famous Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Nafchavam Beis, that says Avram was Masakan Shachris, and Yitzchak instituted mincha. So why are we talking about Avram's mincha? So then he gives two answers. He says either after Yitzchak had instituted mincha, then Avram Avinu also daven mincha. That's how Rabbeinu Tam says. Or he says in the name of his Rebbe that it's true that Avram Avinu, as the Gemara will tell us later on, he was Mekayim, Kol HaTorah Kulo, even Erev Tav Shilin, which was a later rabbinic injunction. And therefore, he would definitely daven mincha. It's just that he didn't make it as a klal, as a general rule for his whole family, until Yitzchak Avinu came and instituted for the entire Jewish people. Then that's named after him. But truthfully, Avram Avinu davened shachris, mincha, marv. He did every single mitzvah, every rabbinic halacha that applied. And therefore, this is what Rav Safra is saying, that his mincha would start the second after chatzais, after midday, when the wall on the eastern wall started getting just the slightest dark. On this, the Gemara asks, on this halacha of Rav Safra, I'm Rav Yosef. It says, Anan Mavram Nekam Enigma. We have to learn from Avram Avinu. In other words, you're coming to tell us we should be with such alacrity as Avram that we should daven mincha the second after the moment of Chatzais? Who said we are on the same level as Avram Avinu? So Rabbi says, what do you mean? Tana Gam Avram? So look, Reb Safra is an Amor, but a Tana learns from Avram for a certain halacha. We shouldn't, us, the Amor, shouldn't learn from Avram Avinu regarding halachas? The Tana learned the Braisa. The Pasuk of Yikra that says, the eighth day of the child, since the child's birth, that's when you circumcise his arla. Now, melamed, what that comes to teach is, that the entire eighth day is permitted to do the bris, the circumcision. Ella, however, shazrizin makdim lemitzvahs, there is halacha that tells us that those with alacrity, that are diligent in their mitzvahs, they go to do the mitzvah of the bris milah as early as possible. Shazam, like it says in the Pasuk, in Bereishis, Vayashkim Avram Babaker, that Avram Avinu got up in the morning, Vayachvesh, and he tied and he did the whole thing with his donkey, and therefore you see that he went ahead and he did the Bris Milah, and he did the mitzvah that he wanted to do, which Hashem was sending him on, to go to Har Maria to do the Akedah as early as possible. So therefore we see that Zrizim Magdim La Mitzvah, so you see that we apply that to the halachas of Bris Milah, so why can't we learn from Avram Avinu when to daven Mincha, if he's such a Zaris, but you see that we're held to such a high level. What basically the Gemara is asking is, what was the question? Why is it that we can't learn from Avram Avinu? Elama Rava, rather, Rava says that Rav Yosef Hoku Kashle. What was Rav Yosef's question? Was the following question. The Tanan, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Pesachim, that says, Chal Arvi Pesachim Liyis B'Erev Shabbos. If Erev Pesach, which is the 14th of Nisan, when they slaughtered the Karban Pesach, if it fell out on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, so then the halacha is that you have to do the Tumat Shel Bein Harbayim, the afternoon Karban Tumat, as early as possible. And the reason is because the Karban Pesach was only slaughtered after the Tumat Shel Bein Harbayim. And additionally, now that it's Erev Shabbos, you have to roast the Karban Pesach when it's still Friday, because you can't do that on Shabbos. Now, so therefore, the Gemara there tells us that we do it as early as possible, the Karban Tumat Shel Bein Harbayim, which is from the moment that it starts turning towards the evening time, the shadows of the evening start shining down. Now, on that, the Mishnah tells us that Nishchat, the Karban Tumat, was slaughtered b'sheisha mechza, 6.5 hours into the day, the Karav b'sheva mechza, and then it was sacrificed 7.5 hours into the day. Now, that's difficult, because if you say that once the wall starts turning a little bit dark on the eastern side, that's already called Ben Harbayim. That's called already evening time when you can start davening Mincha, which we know Mincha is in correlation to the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. But then Vinish, and this is what Rav Yosef's question was, then because you're learning from Avraham Avinu that you see that Mincha was the moment after midday, but then Vinishchete Michi Mishri Kaisli. Then we should have slaughtered the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, because we have to do it as early as possible on Erev Pesach, the falls on Erev Shabbos, from the moment the wall gets dark, which is from the beginning of the seventh hour, the second after midday. Why did that Mishnah tell us that we wait up until 6.5 hours, in other words, a half hour after midday? So that was Rav Yosef's question. If you're saying that we're learning, you tell us, we learn from Avraham Avinu when the Tfilas Mincha is. Now, Tfilas Mincha is the same as the Karban of Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, which is from afternoon, Bein Harbayim. But you see that it's not, we don't learn from Avraham Avinu, because although Avraham Avinu did it the second after midday, we wait until a half hour afterwards. So that was his question. So now the Gemara answers, my kusha, what's the question behind it? We can give three different answers why it's not a difficulty. First answer the Gemara gives is, v'dilma kaisli de Beis HaMikdash, maybe the walls of the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, b'sheish u'mechtze mishri. There, those walls only became darkened 6.5 hours into the day. And the reason why is Mishum Delei Mechav Nituva is because they weren't very much exact. And that is because the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were not straight lines going upward. And the reason is because since the walls were wider on the bottom and they narrowed on the top, and therefore, since it's not the same thickness, the bottom and the top, so the shadow wouldn't be shining on it to make it dark until it moved a little bit more towards the west. And therefore, we had to wait an extra half hour to have this Bein Harbayim between the evenings, which means, say, the first evening when the shadows start coming on the eastern front. Now, that's why we waited till 6.5. So the two halachas do not contradict each other. Although we learn from Avraham Avinu that Bein Harbayim, that's when Mincha starts, which is after midday. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, they wait an extra half hour because that's when their Bein Harbayim were, because their walls were different, and they had to wait till the walls darkened, and that was already a half hour later. Inami, or another approach, is Shani Avram. Avram Avinu is different, because although the halachas don't contradict each other, but his Mincha would be in the beginning of the seventh hour. And the reason is because it's Agninus Kedai Lohesa Beliboy. He was very proficient in the travels and the different of the constellations and the different calculations of time. As the Gemara brings a brayso in Masechtas Baba Basra, that it says in the pasuk, Hashem berachas Avram b'koil, Hashem blessed Avram with everything. And that it says that it's Tagninus Gedol HaHisabli. He had this great understanding of astrology, of all the different constellations, and therefore all the kings of the east and the west would come to him to ask him about the different constellations. So that's why he was able to exactly calculate when it's going to be Bein Harbayim, and that's why he did it in the beginning of the seventh hour. We, who are not that same way, we wait an extra half hour, and therefore it doesn't contradict that, yes, we could learn it from Avraham Avinu, but we wait a little bit more because we can't be as exacting as Avraham Avinu was. Or Inami, a third approach is, similar to the second one, is that again, Avraham Avinu, he was exacting, he knew to know the second after, because he was an elder, a big Talmud Chacham, that he sat in yeshiva, in the Talmudic academy, and therefore he knew to be exacting again, the moments after, because he had the Shechinah with him. That's why he did it the second after, but we are not as exacting, and therefore we wait up on 6.5, but not exactly in the beginning of the seventh. And that's the difference, and that explains the discrepancy, but it's not a contradiction that we should learn from Avraham Avinu. Now, the Gemara demonstrates and illustrates this last, the third of the three answers, that Avraham Avinu was a zaken in Yeshiva Yeshiva, the Amr Rebcham Rebchanina. Like Rebchama said in the name of Rebchanina, that Mimeim Shlav Eisenu, that from all the days of our ancestors, Loi Parshi Yeshiv Mehem, they never left from them a Talmudic academy learning the words of Torah. Hayib in Mitzrayim, they were in Egypt, yeshiva imam. There was yeshiva there in Mitzrayim in Egypt, Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais. Lech v'asafta ezikne yisol. Go ahead and gather the elders of the Jewish people. Now, throughout the Gemara is learning the term zaken, which the Gemara elsewhere learns that zaken is a contraction of the word zeshekana, the one who acquires. And what is the only acquisition a person really has? Dokani, makani, dolakani, makani. The only thing a person has is chachma. And therefore, zekana, Zeshekana Zaken is a reference to Zeshekana Chachma, so therefore whenever the term Zaken is said in the proper context, we use it as a person that was Kana Chachma, and that means that there was a yeshiva there for them to study. So we see in Egypt there was a yeshiva. when they were in the desert, Yeshiva Mam, again, there was a Talmudic academy with them. Shnemak says a pasuk in Bemidbar. Asfali Shivim Ish Mizikni Yisrael. There were people that were Zikain that had Zeshakan Chachma, and therefore that means even there was a base of Medrash. Avram Avinu, Zakin B'Yeshiva Yeshiva Haya. Avram Avinu was also an elder that sat in Yeshiva. Shnemak it says in the pasuk in Bereshis. Avram Zakin Babayam. Avram was an elder, and with his days coming along with him, that we see he also sat and learned in Yeshiva. Yitzchak Avinu Zakin B'Yeshiva Yeshiva Haya. Our father Yitzchak was also an elder sitting in the yeshiva. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Bereishis, but he kizakin Yitzchak. That when Yitzchak became a zakin, Yaakov Avinu zakin yeshiva yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu was also a zakin sitting in yeshiva. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Bereishis, ve'en Yisrael kavdu mizakin. That the eyes of Yisrael, which means Yaakov Avinu, his eyes got heavy from zakin, from being a zakin. Eliezer Eved Avram Zakin B'Yeshiva Yeshiva. So to Eliezer, the slave of Avram Avinu, he was also a Zakin, and he sat in Yeshiva. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Bereishis. V'yem Avram Alav. The Avram said to his servant of Eliezer, Zakan Basley, who was the Zakin of his household, Hamishal B'chal HaShalai, who ruled over all those things. You see that he was called a Zakin too. He was a Zeshakan L'Chachma because he sat in Yeshiva too. Now related to Eliezer, the Gemara brings Amar Eliezer. When it says Hamoishel b'chal ha'shalei, that he ruled over all that was Avram's, it means Shemoishel b'toyris rabbi. What was Avram's? What is Avram's claim to fame? It's his Torah, and that means that Eliezer ruled over all the Torah of his master. In other words, he was at the big Talmud Chacham like his Rebbe Avram. Now, similarly, it says a pasuk in Mereches, who Damesik Eliezer? He was Eliezer from Damesik, from Damascus. Now, the interpretation of that Amr Belazer. It says Shadilo Umashke Mitirasa Shal Rabbi Lachem. And that's because it's the Natrikan, it's the contraction of the word Damesik is Shadoila that he drew, and he went to the depths of Avram Avinu, and Mashke, which is Damesek, and he would pour forth for others to drink from the teachings of his Rebbe to others. And that's again the same concept of what a great Talmud Chacham Eliezer was. Now related to this, his master Avram Avinu, Amar Rav, Rav says, Kaim Avram Avinu kol ha-Torah kula. Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah, as we said before, it's Tzlesid Avram, Avram Davin, Shachris, Mincha, Marv, every mitzvah he did. Shnem, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis, Ekev Asher Shama Avram B'Koyli B'Goymer. And that's because Avram Avinu listens to my voice as the Pasuk there ends, and he does all the Torah and mitzvahs, he does every mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, Amalar Shimi Barchi L'Rav, Ve'emesh Sheven Mitzvahs? Maybe it means the seven commandments that were commandment to the Bnei Noach, what's called the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. But how do you know that he fulfilled all? He wasn't given the Torah. That was given much later on Har Sinai. What does it mean Avram Avinu did all the Torah and the mitzvahs? That the Gemara answers, it can't be just the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, because Ho'ikana Memila, we know that he for sure did circumcision, so that's more than just the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. But then the Gemara retorts and asks back, but okay, fine. Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvah and Mila. So say he did the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach and Mila. Who said he did call Torah Kula? So that Amalei, he answered, Imkein mitzvoisai v'soyroisai lomali. Then, but what would the pasuk be meaning when it ends to say that he does my commandments and he keeps my Torahs? What would that mean? Obviously, it's a reference that not only did he do Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but he actually kept all the Tarek mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So Amar Rava, Rava said, V'yitem etzom say Ravashi said, Kaim Avram Avinu afila eruve tavshim. Avram Avinu kept everything, even a Ruvit Tavshilin, which is a rabbinic injunction, it's not even a halacha l'mesh m'sinai. Rather, the Rabbanan later on ended up instituting this, much generations later, and that is, truthfully, a person not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, either because of a gezeirah, or for whatever the reason is, and that Rabbanan made a way that one could cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, which is if Shabbos comes after Yom Tov, you're not going to have any food. So that's if someone makes the Erev Tavshilin, he makes two, a cooked dish and a baked dish, and that's what's called an Erev of Tavshilin. Then he's allowed to do even that Avram Avinu did. So if Shabbos came after Yom Tov, because he kept Yom Tov too, then he would make even Erev Tavshilin. Shnema, as it says in the Pasuk, Soy Roy Soy, my Toy Rois. Now what's this plural of Torah? There's only one Torah. To tell you, Echa Torah Shabbik Sav, not only did he keep the written Torah, Ve'echa Torah Shabbat, even kept the oral law, which includes all the halachas that will be designed and be explained by the Rabbanan up until all the future generations, even that Avram Avinu kept all those mitzvahs. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. Masi ben Shmuel Omer, he said, B'chulu, etc., that this whole process when they would send him up to the roof and they would say, did it light up? Yeah, lit up until Chevron. B'hu Omer Hen, and he would say yes. And now the Gemara wants to understand, Man Omer Hen, who's saying yes? As follows, because If it's the one that was on the roof, who he told everybody, hey, it's up, it's the whole eastern front is lit up until Hebron. And then it says, and he would say yes. What does that mean? Who chalom, who mavshir? He's dreaming and he's explaining the dream? Like, what does that mean? He's asking and he's answering. What does that mean? There's no one else there involved. So what does that mean? He's answering yes to his own question. So Elohach dekoyaaris. So it would sound like that the one on the ground, he answered yes. But Minoyoda, how would he know? If the one on the top is asking up until Hebron, so the one on the floor would say yes. What do you mean? Yes, what? How do you know? I'm here on the top and I'm asking if it's still Hebron. So what would it mean the one on the bottom? So the Gemara has two approaches how to explain the Mishnah. Either it's going in reference to the one that's on the ground, he says yes. Or it's going to the one that's on the roof, he's the one that says yes. As follows. If you say it's the one that's on the roof, he says yes. It's as follows. Amar Ihu, he says, the one who went up onto the roof, he says, he says a statement. He says, look, I'm looking, I see that the entire eastern front is lit up. Now we break it up. Now the one on the ground says, in the question, did it even light up until Hebron? Now the one on the roof says, yes, I see it's even up till there. And that was the end of the story. And then they would go out and slaughter the carbon tumet shel shachar. So is that three-way process of the one on the roof says it's lit up. The one on the floor asks, oh, so far till Hebron? And he answers, yes. And that's what happened. Or if you want, you could say, Hach dekoya ara. It was the one that was standing on the floor who said yes. No, what would that mean? Amar Iyu, that means the one who is on the floor would ask to the one that's on the roof, Heyer p'nei kol ha-mizrach? This was a question. Did it light up all the way up until the eastern front? Now, it's brought in the Talmud Yerushalmi. The reason why we keep on mentioning that Hebron is because of the schus avos of the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are buried there in Hebron. That's why we keep on involving this. So he answered yes. Atche b'Hebron, I see it's lit up all the way till Hebron. Now v'amalei, and now the one that was on the ground, he would answer to him, hen, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to know. And now we could go ahead and do the tumet shel shachar. So we wanted to know what would it mean. The one on the floor saying yes. It is that yes. That's what I wanted to know. Kacha nishayel, and therefore that was the process again. He, the one on the floor, asking the one on the roof, is it lit up? He would say yes up until Hebron. And he would go, okay, fine, great. Hand, that's what I wanted to know. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that the Mishnah asked, v'loma hotzuchu l'kach. Why was this necessary? You know, we wait for certain times, sundown, there's a lot of halachas dependent on Tzitzik Alisa Shacha. Why over here did they send someone to the roof, to the top of the walls, looking and say, did it reach yet? And then they would say, yes. So that our Mishnah said, because one time they made a mistake. And that is, they thought that it was the sun. Truthfully, it was the end of the month, and the Levanda, the moon, looked, that gave a shine, and they thought it was coming from the sun. And therefore, it ended up becoming invalid. They had to bring it and burn that carbon because it was done still at nighttime. Therefore, they check by the eastern front to see that it's coming from the east, which is from the sun that's shining. Now, the Gemara asks on this idea, Umi Michlef, is it even possible to mix up the light of the sun and the light of the moon that's coming out? How could they have made this error? But Vatanya, we learned that Rabbi says, the rays coming from the moon cannot be compared to the rays coming from the sun. And that is because Timishal Levana mitamer v'oile kamakal. The rays come out in a stick, straight fashion. Whereas Timishal Chama, the rays of the sun, that is by Alois HaShacha, when it's breaking forth, Mavtzi Lakan Lakan, it disperses in all different directions. And therefore, there are different types of rays of light. So how do we even understand this incident at all, which caused this whole thing to go on the rooftops because of they confuse the lights when they're totally different lights? How'd they make this mistake? So that the Gemara answers, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, that Yom HaMa'un Haya, that incident happened on a cloudy day. And that is, the whole firmament was knotted up in clouds. And therefore, the rays were not clearly visible because of the clouds that were blocking it. It was only where the clouds were dispersed. In those areas, they would be able to see between the clouds. And therefore, Umavtzi Lakan Lakan, the light of the moon appeared to be dispersing here and there because they only saw it in the pockets. Therefore, they thought that was the sun, which is Mavtzi Lakan Lakan. And therefore, they didn't think that it was going to be the light of the moon because it was coming in different areas, not stick straight as it usually comes across the clouds. And that's how they made that error. Now, Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, Shema Mina, that what we could infer from this previous statement, that in a cloudy day, that it means it breaks through in many different pockets between the clouds, that Yom De'eva, a cloudy day, Kula Shimsha, it's totally sun. And that is, even where there's shade, there's still the power of the sun. And that is because the sun breaks through in every place, and it's not coming through normally as it would, so to speak, through the window that the sun usually comes through. And the reason is because the clouds are in the way. So therefore, it spreads its through, because it has to get through. So it continues over the clouds until where it finds a pocket to break through. And that means essentially the sun is really everywhere. So on a cloudy day, the sun is stronger than on a regular day, because it's not coming straight through. It has to find ways. So it's going all over to find pockets to go through. So now the Gemara asked Lamai Nafkamina, what would be the difference to tell us this great insight that this is what happens on a cloudy day? So two differences, either because l'shtuchi iris, either if someone wants to hang up, spread out his hides to dry up, he should know that a cloudy day happens to be is going to be very sunny. It's going to, in other words, sunny not in actual seeing the sun, but in the heat of the sun. Inami, or another difference is, like the Darsh Rav, like Rav had lectured, he said, ishalay talish, a woman should not knead dough on Pesach, loy b'chame, not in the sun, but loy b'chame chame, not in the heat of the sun, and therefore what it basically is, on such a day, a cloudy day, one should not knead in that area, although it's cloudy and it doesn't seem like their sun, happens to be the heat of the sun is even greater because the sun is everywhere now. Now related to this, the Gemara brings Zamar of Nachman, that zuhama de shimsha, which is that heat of a cloudy day, kashim shimsha is even harsher than this, than the sun itself, which is when you see the sun and you feel the rays coming down, cloudy is worse. And v'simanecha, a mnemonic to remember this, is dana dechala, is a jar of vinegar. Now, a jar of vinegar, generally, one would close the cover very tight so that the aroma should not get weakened and come out. And therefore, when someone makes a small little hole in such a jar, the aroma comes out so strong and powerful through those small little holes. So that's the same idea on a cloudy day, that since the sun is covered and concealed with the clouds, so therefore it's like held together, the sun. It's being held in one place. And therefore when it finally finds a crack in the clouds, it comes through very strong. Hence in the cloudy day, the rays of the sun are going to be more dangerous than the clear day where the rays of the sun come straight up. A similar idea, Shavriri de Shimsha, the blinding of the sun, which again, when the sun breaks through forcefully through the holes in the clouds, then if someone puts his eyes by the holes of the clouds, that's kashu, that's worse to cause blindness, mishimsha, than if someone looks at the sun straight in the clear sky. It's worse on those cloudy days because, again, the strength of the sun is that much stronger when it has to break through the small little holes. For Simonecha and the Malik to remember this idea is dilfa, is dripping. What that means is that when liquid drips on a person, drip by drip, it's harsher on the body than if all the water drips, it pours on him at one time. And that's the same idea, that's small little coming out is worse than all of it coming together in one part. Continuing on top of Chavtesim and Av, with a similar idea, Hirhuri Avera, that the thoughts of this sin, which means, say, the desire for women, is kashu, is more harsher on the flesh of a person, Me'avera, than the actual act of the Avera itself. Simanecha, and again, the mnemonic for this is Recha de Bister, is the aroma of the roasted piece of meat, which that's harsher for the body because one desires it than the actual piece of meat. And again, here we're saying all these different ideas, which although it seems less, that the sun should be stronger than this and the aver should be worse than the hira aver, but we're finding that on some elements, they're even worse than the item itself. Similarly, Shili de Kaitam, the post of the summer, which is El, which comes at the end of the summer, is Kashya. The heat of that time of the year is harsher, Mikaita, than the heat of the summer itself. And the heat of the summer, that is in the middle of Tammuz. And the reason is because by the end of the summer, let's say El time, the entire atmosphere and all the people are already heated up from the entire heat of the summer, which has been with them the whole summer. And therefore, now with just a little heat, a person can get already heated up because it's so intense, the heat that's been there, and therefore it could harm a person more than the heat of the summer itself. B'simanecha, and the mnemonic to remember this is tanur shagira, is a heated oven. And that is, if you have an oven that was heated two or three times already, it's very easy to heat it up again with just a little amount of wood. And that's the same idea after the summer, which although it's maybe not with the fire now, but it's so easy to get it going. So too at the end of the summer, which everything has been so heated out already, it's harsher than the heat of the summer itself. Another similar idea is ishta desisva, that means the fever of the winter months. If it heats up a person and makes him hot, a sick person, then kasha, you should know that it's worse, midikaita, than the fever that burns up a person in the middle of the summertime. And the mnemonic to remember this is tanura karira, is a cold oven. And by a cold oven, you need a lot of firewood to heat it up because it's cold. It takes a long time to heat it up. So that's the same idea in the wintertime with the ear. The atmosphere is cold, the bodies are cold, and yet still this illness is burning him up. So you know that this is definitely a very bad illness, because in the summertime, so you get hot, you're hot anyway. But if in the wintertime you're getting heated up and you're getting that fever, must be a very ill sickness. And finally, migmer bat tikta. If someone wants to learn something that he had once learned a long time ago, and he had stopped learning that topic, and he has forgotten it already. Kasha, it's more difficult to review it and to now go back to it again and to integrate that information, michadata, than from something that he never learned in the first place. For Simanayach, and the mnemonic to remember this is tina bar tina, is cement that has already been cement before that. And that is, if someone takes cement that he grinded down from old cement, let's say from an old brick, and then he wants to make new cement out of it, it's harder to put it together and to make new cement than from new earth, which you're making for the first time cement. It's much easier to do it afresh. So too, if someone had learned something in the past, and to go ahead and rehash it again and come back to understanding it is much more difficult than from something for the first time learning it the right way.